it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Chelsea podcast. I'm Chaz, and as ever, I have Mooch with me. Hello, Mooch.
Hello, mate. You good?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Nice to be back with you. And we're joined once again by Daniel Childs from the Son of Chelsea podcast and CFC UK magazine. Daniel, thank you very much for joining us. Daniel?
No worries. That's a new one.
Yeah, beg your pardon. Put my teeth back in.
I'll be signing him in January.
So it's Sheffield United on Saturday, lads. And, you know, we have wiped away, let's hope, the despond of last weekend's performance and everything that came out of that. And it's a new page. It's a new start. And here we go again. And we're playing the team who are rock bottom of the Premier League. Surely. This is the time for us to put in a decent performance, for people to gain a bit of confidence, and for us to get 3 points. Mooch?
Well, Sheffield United are looking at this going, we've got a chance. That's the problem. Yeah. Like, that's the difference. Like, they're rock bottom going, hey, if we do what we can do, we know we might be able to grind out a result here. And I think that's half the problem. Teams don't fear us. Teams have... Like they get that second win, they've got that motivation. Yeah, it's gonna be a long end to 2023, man.
there is an argument to suggest this is a bad time to be meeting them. Not, you know, forgetting our own form. Obviously, Chris Wilder's come in and. They had a 2-0 defeat to Liverpool, in which they were probably slightly unlucky, I would say, and then managed to get a win against Brentford. Hasn't lifted them off the bottom. But, you know, beating Brentford was more than we could manage. And they are a tough, physical, hard-working side. Daniel, how do you see... all that aside, we should still be beating them, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should, but there is, you know, with Wilder now back at the wheel, there's a lot of red flags about Sheffield United. In terms of what this Chelsea team struggles against, physical, direct, probably low block, probably out to frustrate, and against a Chelsea team who aren't flowing with confidence, and there'll already be that atmosphere, that tension around Stamford Bridge before a ball has been kicked on Saturday. That's just the reality of it. And because it isn't against Man City, because it isn't against Arsenal, that kind of inbuilt support of the team that is there for those big games is not going to be there, I don't suspect, as much. So the team has to rally themselves in a way, which, you know, makes it even more difficult when you are under pressure to win. That's not to say that Chelsea can lose on Saturday and it's absolutely fine. Obviously not. I think the one thing that I'm kind of clinging on to is I do think that this season there is a massive gap between the three promoted sides and the rest of the Premier League. I think we have seen that consistently. I think that now, arguably, as the season has gone on, we have seen the likes of Luton start to bloody the nose of some teams, and especially at home. And even Burnley have been able to get some positive results in recent weeks, as you mentioned. Sheffield United have as well. But I still do think there is a, especially away from home, there is kind of that thing where I feel like Chelsea can still get the better of Sheffield United, obviously. And I think all of it, it sounds just so Michael Owen, and I hate to say it, but it really is about that first goal in the first half. And if Chelsea can get, we always say about these low block situations, and the Brentford game you referenced is a perfect example. In that first half, Chelsea had several big opportunities. If we score any of those, I think Chelsea win the game comfortably because Brentford were basically in their own half. They were really struggling to get out. There was no momentum for them whatsoever. It wasn't a good low block performance because Chelsea were creating opportunities. And I think it'd be the same case on Saturday. If Chelsea score within the first 20 minutes, I think Chelsea go on to win the game. I don't know how comfortably, but I think Chelsea go on to win the game. We always know in these type of situations, if Chelsea are huffing and puffing, nothing's coming off, the crowd's getting more tense and frustrated, then it becomes a little bit more of an open game in that second half. And then Sheffield United probably kicking towards their own fans in the second half and then looking for those set piece opportunities to capitalize on. So there's no point trying to say we all should go into this game feeling confident and there isn't a banana skin here, because we all know there is. But I do think that intensity and that we have to have a clinical edge. There's no two ways about it. Chelsea are not going to have loads of space to walk into like they have against better teams.
There's a couple of really good points you make there. One of which is that, you know, I've noticed at the Bridge that the atmosphere has been, particularly after a loss or a bad performance, the next home game, and you're not playing one of the bigger sides, the atmosphere has been decidedly muted. And I think it's been nervousness. It has been, you know, I mean, a couple of Oppo fans have said to me, "Oh, didn't need much of your crowd or whatever." And I was saying, well, you know, you're looking at what you're talking about, what you're expecting is, you know, people to be sort of incredibly behind their team when they're playing someone that they know they should be beating, but they're not beating, and they're not playing very well, and they're incredibly nervous about that. And, you know, I just the difference in atmosphere between those big side games and the teams that we should be beating has been massive. And that is, well, I think that's a problem.
There is almost like a parallel of this game to the Southampton one this year. I think it was back in February, where again we just lost to Fulham away, but then you were looking at Southampton, who'd been absolutely tragic, and you think surely this is kind of a banker for Graham Potter, like this has to be 3 points, and then it wasn't. And again, that was another situation, a classic game of Chelsea just losing control of it and doing all the worst things against a team, looking desperate, putting bodies behind the ball, and it's those basics.
It's insane to me that we gave Southampton 6 points last season, and they were, you know, clearly absolutely the direst team in the division, but also just generally quite dire. You know, I mean, anyways, but moving on from that, things are marginally better than that. And the other point I think you were making there was the start, and I think it, you know, what you don't want to see is that nervousness creep into Chelsea's game. And what you want to see is a start that says, we're not going to take any bollocks here. You know, we're going to go at this hammer and tongs. We're not going to be muscled off of stuff. We're not going to be shoved off the ball. We're not going to just allow you to keep us at arm's length. You know, we're going to move the ball quickly. We're going to get into space, and we're going to start effectively. And this is a team that can be scored against. I mean, you know, all right, admittedly, Wilder is now in and things may have changed a little bit, but, you know, Burnley got 5 against them, admittedly, with a sending off. Newcastle got 8, for goodness sake. So this is the sort of team that really I'm desperately hoping Poch is going to say from the outset, let's go at the jugular. What do you reckon, Mitch?
You'd hope so. And when we do get those early goals, we do look like a different team. But who is going to get those?
Confidence is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the compounding confidence issue that we have again. who's going to get that goal? Is it going to be a penalty? If the, I don't care how it comes, we just want that early goal. We have to come out the gates firing. I think you're going to have Raheem Sterling return to the starting lineup. Conor Gallagher has got to be in that team. Palmer.
I mean, do you start? Do we put Palmer back out wide? I mean, particularly as I think you're right, I think Sterling will start. Do you put Palmer wide right and Sterling wide left and lose Mudryk, or would you play? Would you put Palmer in the middle and play Mudryk wide left?
I think Nkunku is going to feature in this game. Yeah. I think there's been some hints on the stand up.
Well, Daniel posted something that really made me laugh actually on his Twitter account, which was that, you know, someone said, oh, you know, Lavia and Nkunku seen training with the Chelsea squad, seen in full training with the Chelsea squad. And Daniel put on Friday, Poch says, yeah, Lavia and Nkunku will play no part on Saturday. and that is really how it's been. You know, we've been sort of gagging. We've been straining at the leash for, you know, at least one of those two players to be fit. But, you know, and we've been tantalised by pictures of them training for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it hasn't occurred. Daniel, this time, what do you reckon? Are they going to be starting? And what would you do with our front three there or front four?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really give a lot of confidence. Yeah, I think especially how long they've been out. But it does feel like a perfect environment, especially, you know, for Nkunku. Yeah. I'd be interested to see a 4-2-3-1. I think the biggest problem you have... Well, 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, because I was really excited by the way Chelsea played when Palmer started instead of Jackson against Arsenal. And Palmer kind of played a centre forward slash false nine role to kind of simplify.
Deep lying.
Yeah, or just where he's playing a lot more in the centre, which I think is where he feels more comfortable.
Agreed. Than
kind of this wide player. And then maybe you have two out-and-out wingers, Mudryk and Sterling, either side of them. I guess the problem is then where do you put Conor Gallagher, because you want Gallagher in this team, right? But then how many times are you not going to play your 200 or whatever million midfielders that you paid a lot of money for, right? And I think that becomes a tricky situation, because I still would like to see Enzo in the team, but I don't think Enzo's been playing badly, but I haven't seen enough from him. I've been more impressed by Casado. I think Casado has actually had to do a lot of work on his own at times, especially down the flanks, to try and help Chelsea out. So then maybe you see Casado and Gallagher and then a three behind a striker. But it's I think it's that intensity. I also want to point out set pieces. I think set pieces, we've done really well from attacking them against Brighton, and I'd like to see that happen again. And it comes from aerial threat. It comes from having a taller players within there. Axel Disasi, Levi Colwell, Benoit Badiashile. And better delivery, because Chelsea are usually atrocious with delivery from set pieces. So it was actually a surprise to see us actually beat the first man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, two goals from corners against Brighton was absolutely astounding. Admittedly, there was no Lewis Dunk that day, but, you know, it was just, I think we were kind of all gobsmacked by that. So just very quickly, I mean, what happens, both of you, what do you think the effect is of us not winning this game? Because let's face it, as you have alluded to, Daniel, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I didn't make a show this Monday because I was a little bit like, could we see a statement drop about Pochettino sacking? Because I wouldn't put it past this ownership. And I do wonder again, I think we all suspected that Potter would have been sacked after the Southampton game, and he wasn't. Yeah, I think it would just get, I mean, listen, will it be any radically different to what it has been so far this season, so far this year? I don't think so. Does that mean that Pochettino is instantly sacked? I'm not entirely sure, but it just would be a real concern, because then you're actually really, really looking down the table. Mm-hmm. And then I think those fears about immaturity in a potential relegation battle become even more severe, don't they? And it's ridiculous to think we're even talking about that, but that is just where we are, right?
I mean, I see us as being solidly mid-table. There are enough worse teams, and we have enough so far. We've had enough decent performances, and we've got players coming back. We have players coming in who have been injured, and we will stick mid-table. But Mooch, do you feel like it's? I don't think this is a relegation battle side, but do we have to be clear that it could be mid-table, and there are going to be games like this where we could slip up.
Yeah, we're definitely finishing mid-table. There's no European sort of dream happening, and any thought of that has to really just, it's gone.
Be nipped in the bud.
Yeah.
Got that.
Yeah, so can we lose against Sheffield? Yeah. What would happen if we do? Fuck knows. Fuck knows.
Well, it's honest.
Yeah, like I really don't. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows, because it's kind of it's panic stations if it does.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the fear. It's the ongoing effect. It's not the loss in and of itself.
And it's compounded by the PTSD of last season. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, what do we do? Do we stick?
Yeah.
Do we twist? Do we just give up? Do we just become an ice hockey team and get Peter Cech to sort of come back?
The one thing I would say, though, is that we then have a very quick turnover to a League Cup quarter final, which I think is on Tuesday. It's not on Wednesday. So it's not like there's a massive week gap.
No, true.
To another game. So, I mean, I don't even want to think about it. I'd like to think that we're going into that game feeling confident, but I can't blame Chelsea fans for this season, for the recent weeks, for this year, to be going into this game with a sense of dread. Like, how can you not? Given what we've experienced, and you can't just wipe that out of your memory.
Well, I hope it doesn't translate to, you know, what's coming off the terraces to the players. It might a bit. Let's hope it doesn't too much. So, you know, if you're going on Saturday, do please give it the full welly, folks. Now, we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you to put your heads on the blocks, chaps, and come up with a prediction. Daniel, we usually say you can give a head prediction and a heart prediction, although they may also be one and the same, of course. But what do you think is going to happen result-wise?
I think Chelsea are going to win 2-0. And I think I'll go for both on there. I think Chelsea will get it done, even if it is at times a little bit stressful.
Fair dues. Mooch, over to you, man.
I was going to say 2-0, but I can't give the same answer, so I'm going to go 4-0. To like just be optimistic.
Nkunku scoring all four goals.
Yes.
Yeah, in his 10-minute cameo at the end. Yeah.
And then he gets injured.
Oh God. I'm gonna say 3-1. And I think we're going to go 2-0 up, and I think we're gonna get scored against, and I think there'll be some slightly shitty underpants, but we'll come through at the end, and Nkunku will come on in the last 5 minutes and streak away to score the decisive goal. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us once again on the Chelsea podcast. Daniel, thanks so much for coming back to chat to us.
No worries. Thanks for having me on again.
We'll see you again, I hope. And don't forget to listen out to Son of Chelsea, Daniel's podcast. And Mooch, magnificent to see you as ever, my friend.
Likewise.
And we'll speak to you. Thanks, buddy. We'll speak to you all again very soon. Keep the blue flag flying high.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.